So, since we've been out of army, well, out of military, remarried, and you've been visiting back home often since you've been in Mississippi, what do you think are the differences now as opposed to when you were there during the 60s? What's it like different? As far as economics and everything, people, the place,
I think, first of all, the economics. Was over the economics. There's a very big improvement there because when I was in school, I guess the biggest economics that we knew about was going out to the cotton field and doing a day's work out there. Some of us knew about going to golf course. We had a pro golf course there. We'd go out there and caddy and make change. But as opposed to then and now, that's a big improvement. Job wise, I still think Mississippi has a long ways to go as far as salary for job, for the work done. I think they have even to this present day, I think they have more minimum wage jobs. Some of them I consider maximum wage type jobs, but they're paying minimum wages for them, for the work done. As a result, you get people doing a lot of stuff for nothing. One of my reasons for not going back to work in Mississippi, and you might ask me, what am I doing here in Alabama? Well, I was blessed with a government job. If I could have gotten a government job in Mississippi, I would have gone back, but no other way.
And were you reluctant to move to Anniston after knowing the history behind the nation? Were you still okay moving your family?
Well, if you recall, I said I was attacked with a challenge.
Right.
And I was ready, and my first wife was the same type of person. And as a matter of fact, when we moved to Anniston, we moved in the white neighborhood. We were the first to move in the white neighborhood. Moore Avenue, we were the first blacks up there. And we dared to do that, no problem, because we mind now. So that's where we wanted to live. I felt, even back in the days when I couldn't do it, I felt that I should be able to live where I wanted to live, but I couldn't. Like those days. When the possibilities came along, I decided I'm going to live where I want to live. Regardless of what people think, what they say, even my own people, might say, well, he's trying to be white.
Right.
No, I'm not. I'm trying to get the best for me and my family. Okay, so we moved on Moore Avenue, and then, I'd say in about 2 or 3 years, it was all black because the sales sign stopped popping up. We got a thing going now, see? We did this. For sale signs start popping up. And right now, if you go up there, you might see one or two black families up there. So the challenge was over with. We decided to come out here and blackitize this place.
I like that word.
And we've done pretty well out here.
Yeah.
We were the only blacks out here when I came in this particular area. Now we have flats down the street and over a couple of streets over, the whole line, so we're satisfied.
So hopefully in the future you won't be moving nowhere else.
I have no intentions. I'm too old to challenge now. I feel that I did something. It might not have been meant nothing to anybody else, or might not have been appreciated by anybody else, but I felt that I did something. And I'm satisfied with that. I'm pretty happy where I am now and what I'm doing.
Right. And as far as politics goes, what do you think the difference is between now and back in the 60s? In the South.
In the South. Politics in the South. Oh, well, if we go back to George Wallace days and the then George Wallace, I'd like to think that he's changed. At least that's what he wants us to believe, and I believe it. We had the same type of government in Mississippi, but at the time I was too young to realize what government, about government. I only started realizing about government when I came to Alabama. Southern type government. I guess I described it when I said about leaving Mississippi, going to Chicago. The difference was the same as far as government was concerned. You know, we had open government here, open prejudice type government. Didn't want immigration, and they let it be known. You know.
And the North wasn't integrated either, was it?
It was integrated.
Was it?
When I went up there, it was integrated, but they were having a hard time. As a matter of fact, my sister Mildred was in one of the integrated schools there when I went up there, and she described a few things to me that she didn't think would be happening, but it was happening, you know, like the whispers of niggas.
Yeah.
It wasn't an outcry of niggas like in the South.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That was the difference.
In your lifetime, have you ever seen a real person dressed in KKK ceremonial clothes? Have you ever witnessed them marching or speeches or anything like that in your lifetime that you can remember?
I witnessed it, but I've been in areas where these things happen. I was in Greenville, Mississippi. I don't know if you know the history of Emmett Till. You heard about that? Okay. Well, this happened in Money, Mississippi, as a matter of fact, and I was old enough to know what was going on at the time when he came down from Chicago, of course, and allegedly whistled at a white girl there in Money, Mississippi. Well, that was not where I was from at the time, Money, Mississippi, but this particular guy, Beckwith, moved to my hometown and opened up a furniture store.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah, in the black neighborhood. Okay, so this is why I remember this vividly. He didn't open up a furniture store in the black neighborhood on Nelson Street, the street that I was telling you about, the family, you know,
mm-hmm.
the rough street. And he was holding up his, and he sold furniture. He stayed there for years, as I recall. He sold furniture, black, white, everybody else, because he was kind of, he wasn't outward with what had, was kind of incognito.
Right.
You know, and, but we weren't dumb as we were looking at the time.
Right.
But why we let this happen. This was the 60s, Mississippi, 50s and 60s, Mississippi.
Right. Do you remember were your parents registered to vote? Did they vote?
Not as I recall, especially in Mississippi. I think that when they went to Chicago, that's the first time they experienced voting, great, and then voting.
Right.
Thanks to Jesse Jackson and a few more there at the time. As I recall, I don't recall any of the blacks in my neighborhood being registered voters, unless I just didn't understand. But I never knew about them going to vote.
Right.
They were excluded from anything like that.
Right.
And if they went to vote, they had a hard time. And if they voted, the vote probably wasn't counted anyway. Back in those days, they had control over, you know, the votes. Right. So those kind of things happened.
So you weren't politically socialized to grow up with no political affiliation. What's your political affiliation? What party do you consider yourself more affiliated with?
After the Kennedys and people like that, I considered myself a Democrat.
Right.
I still do.
Right. It's getting really hard to be one these days, but yeah.
Right, that's why I say I consider
myself. Right.
Yeah, but I still would take Democrat over Republican.
Right.
If I had to weigh it.
Right. And do you think that the South is moving as opposed to the way it used to be, solidly Democrat? Do you think it's moving more toward Republicanism just a little bit more?
I think it's balancing. I think it's really balancing out now. Yeah, you're right. It used to be just one party.
Right.
But now it's going to take that vote. And it's going to take some real, real campaigning in the South.
Right.
For any say an independent Republican or Democrat or whatever.
Right.
It's going to take some solid campaigning inside now, because everything is bouncing out now. People realize what voting is about. They realize. See, when I came up, I guess we were whatever the next blacks above us were. We didn't know why we were that. You see, and like for instance, when I moved back to Mississippi from Chicago, I didn't know anything about voting. I didn't race it, but I consider myself a little weak Democrat, because most of the blacks in my neighborhood, the doctors, and lawyers, the few that were there at the time, I found out they were followers of the Democratic Party. You know. That's why I guess even up to the day, because I'm not that much of a politician, but I understand a lot about it now.
Right.
I don't get too much into politics, but I keep up with it enough to know when I'm being cheated. You know?
Right.
Right.
And during the 60s, were there you probably didn't pay a lot of attention to it, but were there, once you got to Chicago, did you notice or did you ever hear people talking that a lot of blacks had moved from southern states to the north? Were a lot of blacks leaving?
That was the thing. What did they call that then? You know, the flight, yeah.
Migration.
Right, there you go, the black migration to the north. From my hometown, and I don't know if I mentioned this to you before. My hometown, for instance, Greenville, Mississippi. At the time, and probably now, if you went to Chicago, you would see Greenville, Mississippi. Everything that's not in Greenville now, the majority is in Chicago. That was the migration. Now, I didn't realize that there were any place else to go until I went into the military and went to different areas of the United States. Say, for instance, here in Anniston, for instance, when I got here in Anniston, I was curious as to where did the people from Anniston go, you know,
right,
when they migrated, because I know they did.
Right.
And I found out that it wasn't Chicago, as, I mean, you know, some did, but the majority went to like Michigan and a lot of them went east. They went to New York, places like that, from just talking to people. They went to Michigan, mostly Detroit.
Right.
Now, that was the big migration from here. Back in those days,
right.
Detroit, some stopped off in Chicago, and they stopped them in the Mississippi, and there, I guess.
Went
on further. Yeah.
And do you think there's a trend now where there are more people moving from the north back south?
Exactly. Yeah. Some of those same people that I speak of that went up during the 50s and 60s. Got good jobs. Some got good jobs, some didn't. No, don't let me misguide you on that now.
Okay.
Some got good jobs. There were some that, if you moved up there or if you went to Chicago visited and saw how they were living, you wonder why did they go to Chicago. They were living better in the shack in Mississippi that they were in. Because the slum that they were in Chicago looked worse. And the areas looked worse. But they led us to believe when they wrote us letters and called home, they were doing fine. They were in the paradise, and that made us go too. If they had been truthful about it, a lot of us would have been settled where we were or had gone someplace else.
Right.
But this led us to, hey, we have to try to get a piece of the pie. And we went up there and found out the pie was stale.
So now there's like more people moving back. Right?
They're moving back. Oh, yeah, let me get back to that. I've witnessed it in my family. Most of my sisters that went to Chicago at the time, that were living in Chicago at the time. As a matter of fact, Mabel, the one that my mother went to live with and that I went to live with, she moved back to Mississippi. That's where she died, in Mississippi, back home. That's where she said she wanted, you know, a final resting down in Mississippi. You know, I have three sisters still in Chicago, but they are talking about going back home too. They haven't gotten that old pot of gold at the end of the rainbow yet, see. The majority of the people that are coming back are the ones that were fortunate. They made their money, they saved, and they know that if they come back to Mississippi, it's much cheaper to start a business, and it's easier, really, now, to start a business and and they've learned from keeping up with relatives who stayed behind that things are much better. It's not like it was when they left. So they're coming back. Curiosity, some will come down during the summer to visit, but more or less to scope.
Right.
Really, they have intentions of coming back, but they don't tell the folks that until they really find out the chances are there.
Right.
and the things are better. And they are.
Right.
And as a result, if you go, I can't speak for places that I haven't lived in, but I'm talking about Anderson as well as Greenville, Mississippi. You go there, you'll find that most of the businesses, black businesses there, if you go in that question, they've been up north.
Right.
They've made it up north and brought their resources back, and as a result, it's growing. That's
right.
What's making things better. And I love that. I like that aspect of
right.
What they did. They came back home and they brought the bacon home and sharing it.
Right. Yeah, I think that's about it.
Concludes this interview.